It's a new day. Yes, it is.
The Back Row Morning Show.
The Back Row Baptist Podcast.
The Morning Side Hug.
The Back Row with Matt and Mo. He's Matt, I'm Mo.
We're just like, hey, we got microphones.
You're tuned in to the Back Row Rewind. The best of Matt and Mo.
Welcome to the Back Row Rewind. We're taking you back to classic episodes of the Back Row Morning Show and all the other forms the show has taken over the years. Today, we're actually taking you back to a trilogy of Back Row Baptist podcasts, all focused around wrestling. Each year, right around WrestleMania time, our buddy John Berkey joined us for a wrestling-themed episode. And seeing as he's the new host of the newest Love Thy Nerd podcast, Two Words, we thought it'd be a great week to spotlight it. Let's go. Welcome to episode 5 of the Back Row Podcast. I'm Matt Coker, Ministry Director of the Back Row, backrowonline.com, and sitting next to me today is John Berkey. Introduce yourself, John.
Matt, it's always good to be here on the Back Row, but I could have sworn that the email said, wear your singlets.
I was a little scared and confused. Also with me today is the one and only, thank the Lord, Hillary Peltz. Introduce yourself, Hillary.
My name is Hillary, and I'm in love with John Edward Berkey III.
That's me, y'all.
There's been three of you. Today on the Back Row, we've got quite a stunner of a show. Some of you might think that we're hitting rock bottom in our choice of topics, but we think you just need an attitude adjustment.
Stop with the puns!
Because it takes a certain pedigree of man and woman to be a fan of the WWE. That's right. We are less than a week away from WrestleMania.
No shame.
And today we are spotlighting the top Christian wrestlers throughout the years. But first, it's challenge time. 2 weeks ago, we put up 5 poll questions of our own version of Fast Family Feud. And in about 24 hours, we got all 100 responses we needed to play the game properly. So today, we are going to play what we like to call Church Family Feud.
Woo-hoo!
Here's how it'll work. The game consists only of face-offs. John and Hillary each have a click light in front of them. I will ask a... Thank you for testing them, guys.
You're welcome.
I will ask a question, and the first person to hit their light gets to answer. The top 3 answers, based on our polling, will be listed. If they guess the top answer, they win the round. If not, the other person has a chance to steal by guessing a more popular choice. If neither guess something on the board, we will continue the round going back and forth in sudden death mode, meaning the first person to guess something on the board wins the round.
I'm going
to
win.
First person to win 3 rounds is our champion for the day.
I'm a champion.
We're winners, babe.
Now, as you may know, Kevin Wellborn is our current reigning back row champion and holder of the back row feat. And since he is not here today, this game is not for the gold, just for the glory.
Wah, wah.
John and Hillary, are you both ready?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Then let's play Church Family Feud.
Is this when we start clapping?
That's the wrong theme song. It's not The Price is Right. The price is wrong, John. We polled 100 of our readers. The top 3 answers are on the hypothetical board.
Which is truly amazing that we had 100 readers.
I thought there were only 99.
Shut up, y'all guys. I don't know nothing. Question 1. Name a popular 90s Christian rock band.
Striker. Draper.
You gotta wait for me to call
it. Dang it!
But, what was your answer, Hillary?
Striker. Striper. Striker. Something. I don't know.
John, you have a chance to steal.
DC Talk.
Dang it, that was totally it.
And that was the number 1 answer.
Of course it was. I don't know anything about 90s rock.
Because I'm a Jesus freak.
Yeah, I'm obviously not.
Number 2 on the list was Petra. Number 3 was Newsboys.
What?
Striper was 80s, babe.
Striper was 80s hair metal.
He needed it. Ted Cruz
by
needed
Ted
enough
Cruz.
Time.
Whatever. It's the first thing that came to mind.
All right. Question 2. Name something a 12-year-old boy might sneak into church. Hillary.
Comic book.
But
yes!
That's number 3. John, you have a chance to steal.
A toy.
Sorry, Hillary wins. The first number one was video game or tablet. And number two was food or candy.
Wait, you're not allowed to have food or candy in the sanctuary?
No.
There should be a sign.
Just water. At the most, in a bottle with a lid.
I've had a burrito. I've had coffee. Oops.
All right. At the end of two rounds, it's 1-1. Question number three. Name the first section you go to when you visit a Christian bookstore. Hillary.
Journals.
But that's number three. John, you have a chance to steal.
The VeggieTales section.
Oh. First was music. Second was Bibles or Bible studies. Hillary is in the lead, 2-1.
What? I still love you, though.
Question number four. Besides the first book, name one other book in the Left Behind series. John.
The Mark.
Hillary, you have a chance to steal.
Revelations?
No. All right, we are in sudden death mode. First person to get one of the top three answers. John.
Tribulation. Tribulation rising? Falling?
Burp.
Still left behind.
Even more left behind.
John.
Soon.
No. That's a different series.
That was a prequel.
No,
the Tribulation?
All of these books are in my house.
There
are
I can see
16
them.
16 books in the series.
Them. And I didn't read any of them.
I read Left Behind.
All right.
Give me a hint.
I'm going to give you all a hint.
Okay.
It is a two-word title. The first word is tribulation. What is the second word?
Period. Time. Period. Study.
Tribulation world. Tribulation here. Tribulation coming.
Now. Tribulation now.
Apocalypse now.
Oh, gosh.
Just don't give it to anybody. Nobody knows.
I don't have an extra answer here. First person to Google it. Go.
Give me all the
Tribulation Force.
You could have said, let the blank be with you, and I totally would have gotten it.
Soul Harvest?
What?
Soul Harvest was number two.
Really?
Yeah. Nikolai was number three. It comes out to the last question.
We're terrible.
Y'all are the worst.
You better not win, because remember, I make your sandwiches.
This is an oddly specific threat that no one listening has any clue what it means.
Because I'm a woman and I make sandwiches.
Oh, well, you said it.
Nice.
Question number five. Name a silly song from VeggieTales. John.
The cheeseburger song.
Ooh, not on the board.
Water buffalo song.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes!
How is the cheeseburger? How is that not on there?
The other two were Where Is My Hairbrush and I Love My Lips. Usta. Congratulations to our winner, Hillary Phillips. As I mentioned earlier, we're talking WrestleMania today. But before we dive into the meat of the discussion, John and I are not professional impressionists, but we feel like we've got some pretty decent wrestler impressions in our arsenals, so we're going to have a little fun. We're going to read some sections of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Hillary is going to yell out different names of wrestlers for us to mimic as we read. We'll each do 5 of our best impressions and one that's probably not so great. I'll go first. Hillary, what's my first impression?
Paul Heyman.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul the Apostle, called by the will of God through Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes.
New day.
Oh, Corinthians! to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people together. We are all those everywhere who can call on the name of their Lord and ours, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Macho Man.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, yeah.
Bad news, Barrett.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I appeal to you that you all agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought.
The Rock.
What Paul means is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, it doesn't matter who you follow!
Stone cold.
Was Christ divided? What? Was Paul crucified for you? What? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? What? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you, so none of you can say that you were baptized in my name, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. Oh!
That was pretty good. Yeah.
Thank you.
You did a solid rock. I was worried about your rock.
I was worried about my rock, too. All right, John, why don't you continue where I left off? Hillary, what's his first impression?
Dusty Rhodes.
For the method of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the same way I destroyed Ric Flair 25,000 times in a row, baby. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. That's hard times, baby. That's hard times.
Mankind.
Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? And where is Mr. Sacco? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?
Booker T.
For since the wisdom of God, the world through his wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what he preached to save those who believe five times.
Stone cold.
For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. What is strength? What is ability? Brothers and sisters, think of what you were and when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. What? Royalty. What? King. Give me a I'm not going to hell, yeah.
Paul Bearer.
But God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weaker world to shame the strong, the Undertaker.
Hulk Hogan.
Let me tell you something, brother. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, brother. And the things are not, brother, to nullify the things that are, brother. So that no one may boast before him, brother. Brother. These 24-inch pythons. Because what you gonna do when Paul the Apostle runs wild on you?
Oh my gosh. That was great. Whew. All right, that's all the time we have for WWE impressions. We'll stick to our day jobs. When we come back, we're going to have ourselves a slobber knocker. Stick around.
Got it, got him!
God is my witness, he is broken in half!
God is my witness, he is dead!
Welcome back to the BWF, the Bible Wrestling Federation. We are in the middle of a slobber knocker right now, a barn burner for sure. It is Jacob versus the Angel. This match has been going back and forth for at least a good hour now. We do not know which way it's going to go. Oh, up, submission lock. The Angel has Jacob in a submission hold. Oh my gosh, he's dislocated his hip. As God is my witness, Jacob's hip is dislocated. He's tapping. He's giving it. The Angel wins. And we all know that this was a stipulation match. Jacob has to change his name to Israel. My gosh, I've never seen such a battle. Oh my gosh, this one's going to go down in the history books. This is something men are going to read about for decades and centuries and millennia to come. Back to the Back Row Podcast. As I said, next Sunday is WrestleMania, the biggest wrestling event of the year, and you know we'll be watching. But what I want to talk about first is the roster of Christian wrestlers, or wrestlers who came to Christ afterward, that have been in the ring To kick things off this year, the big Hall of Fame inductee is Sting. Now, Sting has barely been in the WWE, the last big WCW name to join the company, as he did so last year, having his first ever WWE match at WrestleMania. Now, Sting has been a Christian for several years, coming to Christ while still working in WCW back in 1998. But Christ brought him from drug addiction, heavy drinking, and an angry spirit to become a very inspirational man in the world of wrestling. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sting, probably the most influential name. Even when he was, like, in TNA, he was still, like, people just went nuts. I have some friends who were at WrestleMania last year, and they say when his music hit, people just lost it.
I think... Well, one of the big reasons that he didn't join WWE sooner is because he believed that their program wasn't family-friendly enough. WCW got a little racy, but not nearly as racy as the Attitude Era of WWE. And as WWE was slowly becoming more and more PG, Sting slowly started to find the idea a little bit more palpable. But his faith has been said to be... a hindrance to his wrestling career, simply for that fact, is that he refuses to work for something.
And what's cool about that is he just doesn't care.
Right.
He's just like, we're going to do things on my terms, and if we're not going to do them on my terms, which are God's terms, then I'm not going to do them.
Does he always lose? Turn the other cheek and all?
He has since he's been in the WWE.
He has.
Every match he's been in.
He broke his back.
And now he's not wrestling anymore.
Aww.
Now, there are many other WWE wrestlers or former WWE wrestlers who have called themselves Christians, though honestly, sometimes it'd be hard to tell from some on the list because of the characters they play or their public persona. I have a list of 11 more here. Can you guys guess the names on it?
Shawn Michaels.
That's one of them.
Superstar Billy Graham.
That's one.
Wonder why.
Jokes.
I have not watched in 2 years, so you got to give me
Have you watched? Only two of them are currently on the card.
Oh, cool. Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero.
Could never say his last name.
How about a classic one?
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, another one. Million Dollar Man.
Ted DiBiase Sr. Yes, he did actually... Which they actually, I read in an interview one time, he was like, I really am kind of upset at, like, the character I portrayed. Because he was, like, the ultimate just evil.
Evil rich man.
Evil rich man.
Everybody has a price.
And it's all been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
All right, other names on the list. Kurt Angle.
I knew that one.
Sounds a little Joel Osteen-esque at times when he posts about it, but he does write about God and his faith quite a lot on like Facebook and Twitter and stuff. Lex Luger, he came to Christ after his career, after his wife died of a drug overdose, and he was arrested with drugs on his person. Titus O'Neil.
Played for the University of Florida, Titus O'Neil.
Fun fact, do you guys know... Who recorded Rey Mysterio's theme song?
P.O.D.
That's right.
619, baby. San Diego.
They went to the same high school, and they are close friends.
Yep. Booyaka, booyaka, 619.
I had a mad crush on Rey Mysterio when I was a kid.
Oh, me too.
Because y'all were the same height.
Yeah, we were the same height.
Fortunately,
I got a little taller.
Now, it's not our place to judge who is authentic and who isn't, because I know full well that it's not right to judge anyone's faith based on a single moment in time. Hulk Hogan is also on this list, and we know he's going through awkward stuff right now.
Yep.
But he has many times, especially after his divorce, I guess it was almost a decade ago now.
Yeah.
Said that he's really had to rely on his faith, which... even he has admitted hasn't been strong at times, but anyway, there are some of this list that really struck me as, what, really? While others were very clear to me. So who on this list surprised you guys?
I'd forgotten about Lex Luger. I don't really think Angle surprised me a little bit.
Yeah,
Angle surprised me because I had never heard.
Because Angle is so like, him, you know, wrestling, he's so very much just like, how awesome am I?
Yeah, it's all about him and his strength and the fact that he was an Olympic champion. And
of course, Sting and Shawn Michaels are very outspoken and probably the most well-known superstars who are also well-known for their faith. And Shawn's faith has been front and center on the TV as well. His first official shirt after his salvation several years ago was a cross design. He kneels down and prays during his entrance. And an arrogant Vince McMahon put Shawn in a tag team match with God as his partner at one point.
And Vince McMahon lost that match.
What other memories do we have of Shawn Michaels?
Well, I own the Wrestling for My Life book. I think that's what it's called. Yeah. And that's a phenomenal book. But I'll tell you, Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler of all time. I mean, just the entire, just everything he does is just so amazing. But I think my favorite Shawn Michaels is the first Undertaker match at WrestleMania 25.
Very good.
Just perfection embodied when it comes to the wrestling industry. Just such an amazing match. And even Shawn Michaels is like, that's the best match I'll ever wrestle in my entire life, even if I started wrestling again. And so, yeah, those last two Undertaker matches, but that first one was,
One was amazing.
They were amazing.
My memory, when Shawn returned, I remember actually seeing the first night that he was back, he was wearing a t-shirt that said Saved One, number one, on it. And I remember seeing that shirt in, you know, like a Christian bookstore before. I'm like, that's a Christian t-shirt. Is Shawn a Christian? And so at that point, I became devoted to learning if Shawn was a Christian and then following his career. But a few years into his return, they started the return of D-Generation X with Triple H. Mm-hmm. Now, before he left and he was a part of DX, DX was very raunchy, and mm-hmm. he cussed a lot, encouraged women in the audience to flash him, and
talked about it was just their anatomy.
The worst when it comes to, and this was before, of course, before he became a Christian.
That was even a little bit before the Attitude Era. Like, they were like that before.
Right.
Before Austin 316 and all that.
Right. So when DX returned, and things were getting a little bit more PG still, but at this time, you know, it was still D-Generation X. I was very worried he was going to, you know, kind of sell out his faith for the gimmick.
Yeah.
And I still remember there were several times when things were going to get raunchy or going to step over the line, and he would leave. And or he wouldn't be a part of it. Like, one point, there was a scene where Triple H and Shawn were hosting, like, a barbecue outside because they were banned from the arena or something. And he had two women, Triple H had two women come up, and they were going to flash them. And, you know, they had it set up where Triple H said, Shawn, Mr. Fuji's cart's over there.
I love
Mr. Fuji. And Shawn leaves the scene and is not there and is not looking as this happens. And then he comes back afterwards. That wasn't Mr. Fuji or whatever. You know, so he missed the bad part. And the whole point was, he interviewed later, he's saying, you know, I don't want my kids to see me doing something that's dishonoring to God, dishonoring to my faith, and basically something that I wouldn't want them to do.
Well, he was having so much fun with that.
Yeah.
Like, that part of the gimmick. And really, in all honesty, that version of D-Generation X was just as cool as, like, the really, really raunchy version. And, of course, you know, DX took an even almost darker, raunchier tune after Shawn Michaels left
mm-hmm.
because they, you know, doing with the New Age Outlaws in China and all that. But, you know, yeah, it was so fun to watch Shawn Michaels, and it'd be like, you know, They'd pull out, you know, these cheerleaders or something were about to flash the Spirit Squad, and he'd be like, oh, Shawn, close your eyes. And Shawn would be like over in the corner, just like has his hands over his face, and it's just like, yeah, let's have some fun with this. Let's, you know, let's generally
They're going to do the raunchy stuff. Let's at least acknowledge the fact that Shawn is not going to be a part of it and make it funny, too.
Being a good sport about it, too, because he could have very well have done been like, I'm not going to be a part of this anymore. It can just go on without me, but the fact that he wanted it to be
demonstrating his faith, demonstrating at least the
you can still have friends outside of your faith
and not compromise yourself.
And not encourage them, mm-hmm. but not compromise your faith at the same time.
And what about you, Hillary? I hear you have a nice Shawn memory.
I actually met Shawn Michaels.
Lucky.
Yeah, well... We and you, that was a hair
clip, and you didn't crap yourself.
I never said I didn't. I think I was 13 or 14 at the time. He was doing a tour, kind of just visiting a local athletic events and signing autographs. And so I went. It was at a hockey game, and I went and I stood in line around the second period, beginning of the second period, and I remember standing in line, and it was a really long line, and this woman with the rudest face walked up and stood right behind me, and I thought, this is going to be an awful time. She's not going to be nice. Well, it turns out she was turning people away because he could only be there for a certain amount of time, so I was the last person in line. So when it finally came my turn to meet him, I shook his hand and I put my ticket for the hockey game in front of him, and I asked him to sign it. He said, "Hi, how are you?" I said, "I'm good." He said, "What's your name?" I said, "Hillary." He said, "I'm Shawn." And then I grabbed my ticket with my shaking hands, and I looked at it, and there was a thumbprint where he had signed, and I walked away, and I never let go of it. It's actually right here.
She holds it everywhere she goes.
Jokes, I don't have it. But yeah, it was great. He was really nice. I do believe hearing that he was able to, wanting to stay, but his person or persons would not let him.
The woman with the angry face.
Probably.
You have the rudest face. Would you turn these people away? You have a rude face. It's really judgmental of you.
Like this.
You have a rude face. Your face is very rude.
But squunched together like a Sharpay.
Your face offends me.
I met him. He's wearing really blue cool. jeans.
I am jealous.
And a t-shirt.
That sounds like John, all right. Yeah. I believe you now.
Thanks. That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
You wore clothes? That's good.
I mean, there was a version of Shawn Michaels in which that might not have happened.
Where he was in a certain... You know. Yeah, no. I think one of the coolest things here is that being a person of faith doesn't really affect your position in the profession. Like I said, Sting and Shawn Michaels are still regarded as two of the greatest of all time. Kurt Angle just retired from Impact Wrestling, and they made a big deal about it, celebrating his career over the past few months. It's almost as if there is no stigma about being a Christian in the wrestling industry. You agree with that?
I think it's a great thing, not only that they're doing it, but it's not, they're not letting it impact and stop their career. Mm. They're using that tool that God has given them. They're like, I'm a good wrestler, I'm a good performer, I'm going to do this. And so whether their opponents and their friends in that industry know it or not, they're being impacted, pun intended, by their actions. Because we do just see a persona. We don't see, that... People, really skinny. Oh, junk, what's his name? You like There's freaked out when he came out
when AJ Styles came out.
Yes,
I don't. You know what? You don't have to. You don't get to judge me for that.
No, I'm not judging you. What I'm saying is, we just see what they want us to see. He's more than likely not acting the way he does when he is, in the ring or on the sidelines. He could very well be preaching the gospel and doing all of these things, and I think it's phenomenal the fact that they know this is just a persona. This is just a character that I play. This is not who I am. And the fact that they can separate that, I think, is great.
Yeah, I agree with that. Titus O'Neil, he's actually suspended right now because he, while live on the WWE Network, kind of goofed around with Vince McMahon and pulled him aside and did a goofy thing when they were supposed to be celebrating Daniel Bryan's retirement. And just because there wasn't anything wrong about it per se, it was just unprofessional. Mm-hmm. So Vince McMahon decided to suspend him for 90 days. A lot of people were saying, it was unfair, too harsh of a punishment, whatever. Titus O'Neil has been interviewed a few times about that and everything, and he says he doesn't quite agree with that. He thinks that they went overboard, but at the same time, it's their company, it's their rules, he's going to do what he can. And he said something along the lines of, I don't really work for the WWE. I think of myself as working for God, and I got to do what he tells me to do, and I'm going to be wrestling as long as he tells me to wrestle, and I'm going to be my best at it. Basically the whole whatever you do, do it, you know, at your best for the Lord or whatever the situation. And so, yeah, I really like that. You know, his character is kind of a, I think the, what was it, millions of dollars?
Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Primetime Players.
Primetime Players, that's right.
With AW.
Right.
When they first started.
That's right.
And then that guy got fired.
Right. But he's been, while he's been suspended, he's been going doing Make-A-Wish things and, you know, meeting with kids.
Yeah,
and
he was voted, like, ESPN's number one dad in sports.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's amazing that there are so many people of faith in this industry and that they're so confident to show it.
Titus O'Neil may be suspended, but is Pancake Patterson allowed to wrestle?
I'm so sorry. I
didn't anybody
get that reference.
See that one? Sorry.
No.
You know,
Pancake Patterson was one of his persona. Like, he came out dressed as like this old crazy dude with a big afro and glasses and like a garage, like a car garage jumpsuit, and his name was Pancake Patterson. Cause he made pancakes out of everybody.
Like, oh my gosh, I've never seen that.
Cut that out. I sound stupid now.
You will.
No, you knew something that we didn't. You were smarter than us.
I will say this: he could have very, very easily have been very upset with that.
Yeah.
He could have, you know, come out and he could have, in interviews, been so mad and talked bad about Vince McMahon and how he didn't think this decision was right. But the fact that he was like, I don't agree with it, but that's his decision.
Yeah, he tries to skirt it, if anything. He's like, we don't need to talk about that. It's happened, whatever. Let's move on.
I think it's really good to show people that things can happen. You don't have to agree with them, but you move on from them because you've got Christ and he's going to allow you to move through those seasons of your life.
Yeah,
and you're going to do great things, even though you kind of want to be doing something else.
Absolutely. All right, last question real quick. What match are you most excited about in this year's WrestleMania?
I have no idea who's doing it, what's happening. I know I'm going to watch it with my
You're just not caught up yet.
Boyfriend. Shane McMahon Undertaker.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Is it actually happening?
It is happening.
Oh.
Shane McMahon Undertaker match.
I got like at least $6 on Undertaker.
It's gonna be brutal and
because
hilarious.
Because
amazing.
Shane McMahon is really good at being beat up.
Right.
I just don't like him. He bothers the junk.
He's so good now though.
Yeah. He bothers.
He came back as just the biggest face.
Great.
You love him if you saw him.
Who do you think is gonna be like the next top guy though?
You're not allowed to ask the questions.
No, it's
John.
All right. It's all right. I want Dean Ambrose to be, but he's just not going to be. I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to tease him for a while.
Yeah.
They might do exactly what they did to Mankind, because that's kind of what they're doing with him, is keep him just out of reach for a long time, finally give him a championship in 4 years.
Yeah.
And then that's about it.
I think if Sami Zayn can get a good character together, there's a lot of talent. There's the TNA problem with the WWE right now. Is there's a lot of wrestling talent, but there are no characters.
Right.
So there's nobody like you really want to see. Wrestling.
I do like Seth Rollins as a heel. I'll be excited when he comes back. He was
an annoying heel.
But
so.
he was getting a lot better.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt and then he was gone.
No matter what happens, there's nothing like wrestling was 10 years ago.
Oh no.
Like I just no matter who comes out, no matter the characters, whatever, I just
They will I don't think they will ever capture the spirit of the Stone Cold Rock DX era.
Undertaker
really
riding
Undertaker.
A motorcycle.
Nobody liked the American BA Undertaker.
Hush your mouth.
Wow. That was the worst.
Wanted
that
a
was,
motorcycle.
That was his worst
rolling,
WrestleMania.
Rolling.
That was his worst WrestleMania. was when it was him and Big Show and A-Train.
He was a joke when he was like that. Everything that he did was put on.
But he's still my favorite, so you like him through all of their transitions.
Royal Rumble, when he was like that, he got tossed out by Maven, who was a nobody from Tough Enough. He was like the greenest character
That's
on the
true.
Show. And then they had a feud with Undertaker and Maven.
God's gonna humble you.
It was awful.
You know you're great, but God's going to humble you, so that's exactly what happens.
God be humbling the Undertaker.
All right, we could obviously talk about wrestling forever, but thank you all for listening. Thank you to John and Hillary for joining me today. Big thank you to Kevin Reddick, as always, our music man. We are going to go lay the smacketh down on some jobbers, but first, final word, John, go.
Jabroni.
Final word, Hillary, go.
I'm uncomfortable and I'd like to go home.
That's all for this episode of The Back Row.
Don't worry, even though they signed off back in 2016, we still got so much more show to go this morning on Back Row Rewind. Coming up, when we return, we discuss that time that God wrestled in the WWE. You're not going to want to miss it. Stick around.
You're listening to the Back Row Rewind, the best of Matt and Mo.
Suppose I was to say to you, it was possible to get those test answers.
I would say go for that. Anne could have said so in a text.
I'm asking you if you know the difference between right and wrong.
I discovered at a very early age that if I talk long enough, I could make anything right or wrong. So either I'm God or truth is relative. And in either case, booyah.
Oh, interesting. It's just the average person has a much harder time saying booyah to moral relativism.
Duncan, you don't have to play shrink to protect your pride. I accept. You're chicken.
Are you trying to use reverse psychology on a psychologist?
No, I'm just using regular psychology on a spineless British twig.
I'm a professor. You can't talk to me that way.
A six-year-old girl could talk to you that way.
Yes, because that would be adorable.
No, because you're a five-year-old girl and there's a pecking order.
Fine, I'll do it.
Thank you.
In the pilot episode of the first season of Community, we see Jeff Winger, disgraced former lawyer who is practicing law without a law degree, starting community college in his attempt to actually acquire one. But of course, his backhanded ways have not come to an end just yet, as he's trying to coerce a former client of his and a professor at this community college of Greendale to give him every answer to every test for every class he's ever going to take for the next 4 years. And true to his character, he really is able to convince almost anyone to do or believe anything he wants them to, given enough time and enough opportunity to talk. That level of lying and manipulation is a pretty decent skill that most of us learn early on in life, and a lot of us have become experts. In fact, sometimes we're able to move the chess pieces around the board so well, it's almost like
you've become something unstoppable.
I mean, it truly becomes like a superpower. We become masters of manipulation, taking our insecurities, our fears, and the things that we struggle with, and instead internalizing those to aim them back at other people, pointing out their flaws, their insecurities, their pains. Frankly, doing everything that we are terrified someone will one day do to us. And we use it for our gain. There's a whole televangelist industry out there that makes a living off of doing this kind of thing. They come as wolves in sheep's clothing, manipulating all of their listeners by using buzzwords and scripture they've twisted for their own purposes, all for their monetary gain. And even when they're called out on this deception, they are almost always able to talk their way out of it to where everybody who's been listening to them for so many years will continue to believe in them and send them money. Proverbs 21:6 says, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death." So if you're actively out there lying and manipulating for your personal and monetary gain, it might last for a little while. But if you think you're going to be able to keep this up indefinitely without God stepping in,
I wish you luck!
Okay, you know, Okay, there's more to this speech. There's actually a middle card that is missing. Can we all look around our immediate areas? Because I really wanted to...
Catch a new Back Row Binge Watch every Monday on the Back Row Morning Show, exclusively on LTN Radio. Welcome back to Back Row Rewind, where we're taking a look back at a trilogy of wrestling-themed podcasts from the Back Row Baptist Podcast, the first iteration of our show ever. Now we're jumping ahead to late March of 2017 as we're preparing for the next year's WrestleMania, and we're going to be talking about the time that God wrestled in the WWE. It's quite the tale.
You're now now tuned in to the Back Row Baptist Podcast. The Back Row Baptist Podcast. The icon. The main event. I'm your host, Matt Coker. Thank you for joining us on the BRBP, and it's WrestleMania week. If you remember last year's show, Finding God and WrestleMania, you'll remember we discussed why many Christians enjoy wrestling, how wrestling is actually pretty accommodating to its Christian fans, especially in the PG era, and we discussed many of the Christian wrestlers from the past and currently on the WWE roster, which includes names like AJ Styles, Sting, Shawn Michaels, and The Undertaker. We're also going to hear some classic WWE impressions and start the show off with a game. And here to help me do that today are my guests, John Berkey.
Oh, yeah!
And Hillary Berkey.
I'm just excited.
I'm just so glad to be here.
I'm glad Dana Brooke's not a heel anymore. Can I say that? Let's just say that. Go Dana Brooke.
She hated Dana Brooke before Dana Brooke.
Smacked the junk out of Charlotte.
Charlotte. And now, like, go immediately Dana. Hits Charlotte. She's like, you know what? I like Dana Brooke.
Yeah, I've always liked her. She's great. Glad you're both here. Mainly because we're the only three of our cast that actually watch wrestling right now, which explains why Megan is absent this week. And before we powerbomb our main discussion onto the table, we're going to play a game. Name that wrestler.
That's not fair.
In this game, I'm going to start telling you the story of a Christian wrestler, and you have to tell me who it is I'm talking about. I'll be describing the wrestler's story until one of you hits the button. If you guess incorrectly, your opponent has a chance to guess. If you both guess incorrectly, I will continue the bio again until one of you hits the button. Again, this will go on until one of you successfully names that wrestler, and we have three rounds, so best two out of three.
Do you both understand? And I'll cook you dinner. Yes.
All right, now, since Chris Oaks is our current reigning undisputed back row champion, the title belt is not on the line this time. Ew. This is simply a matter of pride. Hillary, how do you feel going into this match?
I feel very confident today, and I'm going to tell you two reasons as to why I feel confident. One, I just had a 40-minute nap. And number two, he has not eaten lunch. Bring it on.
John, you're no stranger to this sport. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling like I can really trust my knowledge of useless things.
Information, yeah.
Uselessness.
You do have an edge when it comes to that. Let's find out who will bury the other. Let's play Name That Wrestler.
Oh, wait. What's that? The Price is Right?
That's what we always default to. Price is Right. That's what we did last time. Or this
Which,
last one.
Ironically, was the theme for Blue Pants.
You know, Blue Pants has been wrestling with the Hardys as
oh, really?
As Sister Nero or something.
Whatever. Well, the Hardys just signed...
At ROH.
The Hardys apparently... Last I heard, they were like 5 minutes from signing with the WWE.
Oh, yeah. That's going to happen.
I didn't know Blue Bands was doing that. But I did love the thing. Da, 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 Blue Pants.
Blue Pants. All right.
You have longer arms than I do. That's not fair.
All right, remember, you can hit it at any time. But...
Undertaker.
No. Oh, okay. Not going to be readily easy. All right.
Oh, man.
Number one. Born to a Catholic family, before every match, this wrestler performs the sign of the cross across his chest. Many of his tattoos also carry religious connotations, the largest...
Rey Mysterio!
Let me finish. The largest of which being the symbol of the cross inked onto his chest. Small in stature, his pride in his faith and his Mexican heritage looms large. Trained at an early age in the ways of Lucha Libre, the influence of Catholicism has had a major impact on his life and wrestling career. Rey Mysterio, 1 point for John. Number two. No stranger to the limelight, this self-professed Christian often takes to Facebook and Twitter to post about his faith in Jesus. Though he has struggled with addiction in the past, he has made it a point to discourage others, especially his fans, from making the same mistakes he's made. A few years ago, he stood up to former wrestler CM Punk, who often criticizes Christianity and established religion. John.
Undertaker.
No! You have a chance to guess before I continue. Hillary.
Can I wait until you continue?
Yeah, but he can chime in, too.
Was it Shawn Michaels?
No. All right, I'll start over with that sentence. A few years ago, he stood up to former wrestler CM Punk, who often criticizes Christianity and established religion, even defending the Pope himself to the so-called straight-edge superstar. An Olympic gold medalist, this superstar...
John. Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle. An Olympic gold medalist, this superstar will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame later this week.
I would have gotten that one.
You would have gotten that part.
I would have, yeah.
All right, well, John's already won, but let's do this last one.
It's true!
It's true, it's true. Number three.
It's true, it's really true.
It's darn true.
It's dang-o-dang true.
Number three is finding God as a result of stressful and troubling times. Coping mechanisms like alcohol and muscle relaxers held him down for a long time. After he came to Christ and his wife urged him to go to rehab, his faith began to grow as his addiction subsided. Valuing his faith over his paycheck, his newfound sense of morality kept him from joining the WWE for many years until their content was toned down to a more family-friendly level.
Give me the buzzer!
John!
Was it AJ Styles?
No! It was Sting.
Sting!
You didn't even, like, guess.
You're well, you
I forgot.
You lost already.
Game well, Sting was in the WWE for all of, like, a cup of coffee.
True. But it took him so long. He was offered to, or they wanted him in it so many times before that, and he kept saying no because they were too raunchy.
Well, he was, because I was watching an interview with him. This was, I don't remember when it was, but he said that when WCW was bought out, like, they were one signature away from signing him to WWE, and he's like, nah, never mind. And that was...
pretty much.
Yeah, 15 years later. Mm. There.
And our winner, John Berkey, victory speech.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. I love you. You knew that I knew dumb stuff when we got married. I'll cook you dinner.
Aww.
So who's the real winner here, Matthew? Who's the real winner here?
That wraps up game time. Now it's time for hashtag party. Back in 2015, just before WrestleMania 31, when Marty Field and I were still doing YouTube videos, we held a hashtag party on Twitter and picked some of the best hashtag Christian wrestlers that you suggested and did our best to bring them to life. I know we've gained a lot of new followers and listeners since then, so let's revisit this great hashtag party and go back in time. Let's have a hashtag party!
There ain't no party like a hashtag party! This is the
hashtag party. While back on Twitter, we had a hashtag party for hashtag Christian wrestlers, where we asked you to make your favorite wrestlers a little more holy. Well, here are our favorite five.
Our first one is from @BackRowBeliever, Modest Man Randy Salvation.
Listen here, let me tell you something, brother. In fact, I'm not gonna tell you. You can see it in my eyes, man. This Jesus stuff is running wild, and I ain't nothing. I hate my guts, but my God, he's the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. Oh, yeah. Best there is never changes. Past, present, and future. Let me tell you, playtime is over. Christianity beckons the modest man. So snap out of your sin, Jim. Oh, yeah.
The next one comes from @DonnaG. He is the Solid Rock.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Who in the blue heaven are you?
It doesn't matter what your name is, because finally, the Solid Rock has come back to give you a new name and a new purpose. And that new purpose is to layeth the smacketh down on the devil and his temptations. You're going to tell that snake to take his sin, shine it up real nice, turn that sucker sideways and stick it straight up his pointy nose. Because the billions and billions of the Solid Rock's children are chanting his name. So know your role and shut your mouth, because if you want to tempt me in the desert again, boy, just bring it. Because man doesn't feast on bread alone. The Solid Rock has been grilling up spiritual steaks in the bonds of his holy word. If you smell what the Solid Rock... is...
cooking.
Our third one comes from at Chris Dale Brown. Rick Prayer.
I'm Rick Prayer, the styling, profiling, never Lord denying, first kiss saving, on my knees praying, track tossing, ain't my Lord awesome, freeing and redeeming, son of a king. Woo!
All right, our next one comes from at Keith Loves You Too, Denomination X.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better?
Are you holy?
You better get ready.
I said, are you holy? Then, for the hundreds in attendance, for the handful listening to the podcast at home,
why not? I mean, we're really putting a lot of effort into this youth service. Why aren't you getting into it?
We don't even know what you're referencing. I was born in 2002.
Break it down!
And lastly, from at I Am David Prince, Stoned Cold Steven.
Well, listen here, son. There ain't no two ways about it. Jesus is the bottom line, because God himself said so. You come in here talking about how you're going to beat my faith out of me? That ain't going to happen. You can hit me with one stone.
What?
Two stones.
What?
Three stones.
What?
Four stones.
What?
Heck, son, you can hit me with every stone you got, but you ain't going to change my mind, because I got Christ in my heart, and that makes me the world's toughest son of a king. Because John 3:16 says, he just saved your butt. So you can come believe in him, or you can sit there with that look on your face and pick up your stones. But before I die, let me raise a toast, because my cup overflows. So here's to ya.
I want to discuss one of the oddest moments in wrestling history. The time that God wrestled for the WWE. You two remember that storyline from 2006?
No.
Were you watching wrestling at that time?
Yes and no.
I was in and out of it at about that time. But yes. I do remember that.
But I did watch a little snippet this morning, so I wouldn't be completely ignorant as to what we were talking about.
Well, it all started at WrestleMania 22, when Vince McMahon, the head of the company, booked himself and Shawn Michaels, who is a born-again Christian and has been open about it on TV, in a no-holds-barred match.
And it was awesome.
Right.
Yes. Oh, just that's the one where he jumped off. Great. He put the
trash can
on Vince.
Yeah.
McMahon's head, put him on a table, and jumped from the top of a ladder onto him.
And they gave him the wrong ladder, so he was like 5 feet higher than he thought he
was. He's like, oh well, because the ladder just kept coming.
Yeah.
He's pulling it.
Too long. Okay. Vince, in this match, Vince and his son Shane and a 5-man team of the Spirit Squad came and beat down Shawn on his behalf. Yet Shawn still wound up winning the match. The next night on Raw, Vince confronted Shawn and said that his win at WrestleMania 22 was an act of God. And therefore, he was setting up a tag team match at Backlash that would be Vince and his son Shane, facing Shawn Michaels and God. What do you think of the angle here? Why did Vince want to turn this into a storyline?
Well, because Vince McMahon wants to sell pay-per-views.
but I mean, when has anything
and the off
like
chance
ever
that
happened?
God was actually going to show up, you're going to pay $60 for it, you know. Especially now you got the WWE Network for $9.99, you know.
It is a bit of like from a fan's perspective. If I was first hearing this, I would think I got to see what they're going to do.
Watch this.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do, but I got to see what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I did. I remember watching the match live, and I did think, are they going to, like,
have a guy come have, out dressed
no,
in robes.
No, I thought they were going to have like, you know, an invisible thing force. Where Vince just keeps getting hit by nothing in the middle of the ring and falls down or whatever. I'm like, how far are they going to take this? But, yeah.
I think the worst part about that match was that Shawn Michaels and God lost.
Yeah.
I think so. That was like, it's probably not a good idea.
All right, so let's talk about the match. At Backlash, after a month-long build-up with Vince poking fun at Shawn's faith all along the way.
Coming up with McMahonisms.
And crossing several lines, yes. Yeah. The match occurred. Vince and Shane came out, Shawn came out, and then Vince introduced Shawn's tag team partner. And to the music of a heavenly choir, a bright spotlight appeared on the stage and moved into the ring. At this point, Vince asked the ref to check God for weapons.
But that's not the only part of the entrance, though. Like, there was the heavenly music, and the spotlight comes down, and then Vince McMahon was like, no, this isn't a WWE entrance. You need to dance a little. And they started playing what I know eventually became Brodus Clay's theme song when he became the Funkasaurus. Like, it was this funk, and you could hear the, And then it just showed the spotlight kind of going back and forth. I'm like, oh, this is not good.
So, of course, the match was really just a big way to mock Shawn's faith and have a 2-on-1 match in which they still used the Spirit Squad to throw Michaels through a table, and Vince and Shane beat Shawn and God. In the following months, Shawn would get the best of everyone else in that match, and his best friend Triple H would stand up for him as well, eventually leading to them reforming their tag team of DX and getting the best of the boss on a weekly basis. So, what do we think? If we look at this as a whole storyline on the surface, this appears to be a mockery of God and faith. But is that really what it turned out to be, or was there something deeper we can pull from the storyline?
I don't think it mocked. I don't think it crossed any, like, giant holy lines that, like, you know, the Pope needs to come out and get in his little Pope-mobile and, you know, put his finger in Vince McMahon's chest or anything. So I don't think it necessarily crossed.
So much money to see this happen.
Pope versus Vince McMahon.
I don't know, the way the new Pope holds that microphone.
He may
have something up his
sleeve. Who's younger in that match? Because Vince McMahon's like 1,000, isn't he?
Always.
That's a good question.
I think there are certain things about our Christianity. Mm-hmm. Like, we are held to such a high standard. But the second one of us slips up and maybe says the wrong thing about a different religion or group of people, we are just chastised endlessly. And so it's like one of these catch-22s where Christians, like Shawn Michaels, he couldn't have really said, like, oh, you can't, because what if so-and-so came out here saying that he wanted, you know, Buddha to be his tag team partner. Like, you wouldn't be able to do that. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where they can poke fun at us all they want.
Right.
But we can't do that.
Sure.
And I think if Shawn Michaels had really thought, like, it was going to cross any super, you know, awful lines, he probably wouldn't have done it.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Shawn's faith, but I know, you know, he goes to John Hagee's church.
Well, I mean, we do know that, like, when I talked about, he rejoined the tag team of DX, which, when it was originally formed, before he was a Christian, was
pretty
well known for its raunchiness and vulgarity. And he made it a point that when he agreed to reform DX, whenever something that kind of crossed the line morally was going to happen, he would have some sort of comedic reason to not be in the room when it happened.
Oh, it's Mr. Fuji!
Which was cool.
Yeah, but talking about this storyline, I kind of look at it like we see Breaking Bad. Like, you know, people who haven't actually seen Breaking Bad think, oh, it's glorifying drug use, and it's really not.
Yeah.
Everybody who's involved with making or selling drugs pretty much gets killed and has a terrible life.
Thanks for ruining the entire series.
It's been out for so long. If you haven't watched it by now,
you had your chance, Back Row Podcast.
But
it's
Spoiler alert.
So in this, Vince and Shane are clearly seen as the bad guys in the story. Like, nobody's cheering them on when they're mocking Sean's faith. And everybody is cheering Sean on. Sean never gives up. He never quits. He defended his faith and was portrayed as the hero of the story. And, of course, in the long run, after this match, Vince, Shane, and the Spirit Squad all got what they had coming to them.
And reap what you sow.
Right. Vince and Sean man. Stood up victorious. So is this essentially God's Not Dead 3 turnbuckle tribulation? I was so proud of that joke when I wrote it.
I laughed.
You just
read
God's Not Dead 3.
Turnbuckle tribulation.
Yeah, but...
I think it was. I don't think Vince had it in his mind that when, you know, when they were coming up with a storyline that, you know, he wanted to make God or Christianity look great.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I think it was a money grab and a goofy premise, but at least that is the way they presented it. They presented it as Vince being a egomaniac.
Yeah.
And,
very true.
Right.
Very.
And, I mean, Vince McMahon is definitely the devil in that.
Right.
In that situation.
And Sean was absolutely portrayed as the good guy.
Yeah.
Who was simply standing up for
like?
His pants.
I don't remember. Were they
his
white?
Pants? No, that wasn't until
that was WrestleMania,
right?
25 and 26, I think.
Yeah, with against the Undertaker.
Yeah.
The Undertaker ended his career.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
That was a great match. Both of those matches were great.
Those were great matches. We could probably spend an entire podcast talking about those matches.
Right.
At least I can. But I do agree with Hillary. You know, I think it's interesting that we could do that with Christianity, but if like Titus O'Neil came out and or did a thing on Jinder Mahal like tearing up his prayer rug,
right?
Like, no pun intended, all heck would break loose. Just people would go insane.
Yeah.
Or anything, you know, anything like that. So I think that's, of course, it's, I don't know that they'd do that because he's tag team with Rusev.
Oh, not anymore.
They're not together.
Oh, no, they broke up at
pay per view.
Remember?
Yeah.
The last pay per view because Rusev is injured, and so that's well, the whole.
He's handsome Rusev now.
Handsome
Get
Rusev.
Get it right. Get it right.
But his, I didn't know that Lana was a missionary.
Yeah,
she was like a preacher's kid.
Yeah,
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, yep. she like grew
watch
up.
Watch Total Divas.
She grew up
so good.
She grew
I
up
not
doing.
Total Divas.
She grew up doing mission trips in Russia or this like the Soviet Union area kind of thing.
That's
Serbia.
Crazy.
This sort of thing. Yeah, that's why she speaks Russian.
Oh, I literally thought she was Russian. She's
no,
not Russian.
No, she's totes American.
She's from like Florida.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she their wedding was circus themed.
Circus themed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Circus. And their engagement photos Nashville themed, like Nashville, Tennessee.
And he was like,
so he's in overalls.
So I come home and she is binge watched like four episodes of Total Divas, and I'm sitting there and I'm too tired to be like, I don't want to watch this. And so they're leading up to this whole thing, and Lana was like, I really want to get an elephant at our wedding. That would be amazing. And Maurice is like, you cannot get an elephant. That is the worst thing. We treat elephants so bad. You would be the worst human being, and I would not go to your wedding if there are elephants. And I turned to Hillary and I'm like, I just told her that you're not going to come to our wedding.
And then Dana Brooke, because they're all at the gym, Dana Brooke goes, if you want an elephant,
you
it's
want
your wedding.
Get
an elephant.
Get an elephant.
And just walks away. And I'm like, I could
you
let her.
Do like, yeah.
You do this.
And then she beat up Charlotte. And I'm like, I do like you.
Anyway.
All right. We're going to break there and get back to discuss our thoughts on this year's WrestleMania in a moment. We will take one more quick break for Back Row Rewind here, and when we come back, we're jumping ahead another year as we discuss Ronda Rousey, who had recently joined WWE, and discuss an interview that she had about the lowest point in her life and her thoughts about God. Stick around.
You're listening to the Back Row Rewind, the best of Matt and Moe. is Mo from the Back Row Morning Show, and I've got your five random facts. In 2006, a Coca-Cola employee offered to sell Coke's secrets to Pepsi. Pepsi responded by notifying Coca-Cola. Hershey's Kisses are named after the kissing sound the deposited chocolate makes as it falls from the machine onto the conveyor belt. If you cut down a cactus in Arizona, you'll be penalized up to 25 years in jail. The first movie to ever put out a motion picture soundtrack was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And fruit stickers are edible, though the same with any fruit. Washing prior to eating is recommended. The glue used for them is in fact regulated by the FDA. For more random facts and hilarious nonsense, tune in to the Back Row Morning Show Monday through Thursday at 7 a.m. Central with an encore at 9.
What up, nerd? We hope you're enjoying the podcast. But did you know that Love Thy Nerd showcases most of their content on LTN Radio first? That's right. Check the schedule and listen to most of our shows before they're available here over at LTNOnAir.com. And while you're streaming, you'll also hear the best mix of Christian rock, rap, pop, and indie, and even some content made exclusively for our radio listeners. Stream directly from LTNOnAir.com or download the Live 365 app and favorite LTN Radio. And let us become your new daily soundtrack. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back to the Back Row Rewind. We are jumping ahead now to April 1st of 2018 for our WrestleMania 2018 show, where we discussed an interview that Ronda Rousey had when she was talking about the worst time in her life after losing the UFC title before moving on to WWE. And it brought up some interesting thoughts about God worth exploring. Here we go. Welcome to the Back Row Baptist Podcast. I'm Matt. She's Mo, and this is episode 109. Mo, what do we have for our back rowers today?
We've got a lot coming up today. We're going to play a new version of a game we played a few episodes ago, DC Comics character or professional wrestler, talk about God versus Ronda Rousey, and discuss and predict the outcome of WrestleMania. Before we get started with today's show, let's introduce our guest, Hillary Berkey.
That's me. I don't know what to say.
I even said you first. And John Berkey.
But that doesn't help me if you say me first. It doesn't give me time to think.
Well, you said that you wanted to say something specific and you didn't want him to take it from you. So I said you first,
guys,
so he wouldn't
guys,
take
guys,
it from you.
Let's not argue on Rusev Day.
It is Rusev Day.
Happy Rusev Day, John.
Happy Rusev Day to you, Matt.
Welcome to the both of you back for our third annual WrestleMania show. But before we get to talking about our predictions for the biggest night of wrestling, let's talk about one of the biggest stories leading up to this year's events. Ronda Rousey, Olympic gold medalist, former UFC women's bantamweight champion, has officially joined the WWE. Beyond, what are your thoughts? Now, come on. You don't think it's a good thing?
I think they signed her to get more viewers, which obviously which is a great money-making idea. Like, go for it. But I don't think there's no character there. She comes out to Bad Reputation by Joan Jett, and she's smiling and waving while wearing a black leather jacket. I mean, it's so contradictory. She doesn't get it. And so I just think the character's not there.
You get it.
No, I do get it.
Her character is her being in the WWE.
That's so dumb.
She walks out because she's excited to be there, smiling. No. She's wearing the jacket that Rowdy Piper wore coming down to the ring. Rowdy Roddy Piper.
You said Robbie.
No, he didn't.
I did not.
I heard Robbie.
Well, you're dumb because he didn't.
His name wasn't Robert.
His son came up and brought her that jacket the night that she came out at the Royal Rumble. It's her being excited to be in the WWE. That's why.
That's stupid. That's a dumb character.
She hasn't had time to develop her personality.
She hasn't had time to develop anything. She doesn't have a wrestling style. We have not seen her in the ring.
You don't know that. She's been in the performance center for months.
I don't know.
Tell me how you really feel.
Oh, I am. And I hope you're listening, Rhonda. I hope you're listening.
I'm not a huge fan of her doing the Rowdy Roddy Piper thing. Because I loved Rowdy Roddy Piper. Like, easily anytime you make a list of the top five best wrestlers of all time, you have to put him in there. So I'm not a big fan. I think I'm just going to wait and see, because I think she has done terrible in almost all of her promos, and it doesn't help that they stick her with Kurt Angle, who is the other worst person on for mic. Promos. Gosh, he is just terrible at it.
Sometimes he forgets the second W in WWE.
Yeah, he does all W-E. The time. And WWE. Can you pull the mic closer to you and you as well?
But I'm like right here.
Well, just slightly closer to you. Slightly, oh, for goodness sake, you snarky person.
Is that better, Matt?
Gosh, yes.
But what I will say is I do, because I remember last year, you can pull up the clips, I complained about Triple H interjecting himself into the match with the hottest superstar that year, or whoever they thought was the hottest superstar that year, and he hasn't done that this year. He stepped aside and let everything else happen, so good move, Triple H. Mm-hmm. Also, good move, Vince McMahon, because everybody knows Vince McMahon is probably one of the greatest businessmen ever. I mean, he took this thing that probably should never have worked and made it one of the largest entertainment enterprises in the world. So he knows what he's doing. I trust that he'll make it, that she'll do something well. But I also feel like they had a great women's roster and a great women's lineup, and they could be promoting that. But they're not. And I don't know why.
That's not true at all.
They're not there. So
totally
you had
promoting the women's roster.
So you had the women's Royal Rumble. First ever women's Royal Rumble. It was gonna be this pioneer thing. I mean, Lita came out with a hashtag Time's Up shirt on. Right? And it was like this greatest thing, and Asuka won it, and it was all amazing. And then, oh, Ronda Rousey's here. I guess we can forget about all that.
Yeah.
At least they didn't put her in the match.
I am so glad about that. Thank you, Vince McMahon. All right.
Well, she was interviewed a couple weeks ago after she officially signed her contract, at least in the TV storyline. And a match was set for WrestleMania, teaming her with the other Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle, against The Authority, Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon-Helmsley. This is a match that we'll talk about later, but in my opinion is one that obviously The Authority is going to lose because they're going to want to build up their new acquisition. But in this interview, she opened up about her losses in the UFC. She's had the most dominant run in UFC history. She was undefeated until her showdown with the preacher's daughter, Holly Holm, from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Amen.
Which was,
shout out to the Burquinos.
That was a fight that I watched. Did y'all two watch that?
I watched it.
Did you watch it?
I watched.
I mean,
you were there too.
That was my first ever.
It was mine too. First ever UFC.
Watching, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I saw 30 seconds of it, which that was all it was, wasn't it?
No, that was the next one. The Holly Holm one was a full-on match, and it was great.
Yeah. Okay.
It took a long time. It was actually awarded a $50,000 bonus because it was chosen as Fight of the Night for that UFC event.
Huh. I didn't watch it. I was at work, but I watched the highlights. Other one?
Oh, okay.
I watched Ronda Rousey get kicked upside the head.
Yeah, that was...
That was pretty much the end of it.
That was from that one, wasn't it?
That was from that one, but that was at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's the part of that I watched.
So Rousey was handed her first loss that night, and in her recovery, she was gone for over a year, feeling deflated, yet she vowed to come back and to win. So she went up against Amanda Nunes at UFC 207. This time, she lost by a technical knockout in 48 seconds.
Yeah.
And that was the last UFC or anybody had seen of her until now. So let's listen to what she says here, as well as her partner, Kurt Angle.
Do we have to?
I remember my last fight, walking away thinking God hates me. nothing left in me. My husband's amazing, and he really brought me out of some tough times, and he would just look at me and just say, like, you're not only this. He said, you're more than just a fighter. And that's not a bad thing. It's not something I should be ashamed of. It's something that I should embrace and showcase to the world, and that's why I'm here.
Oh, my God!
I'm not afraid to care anymore.
WWE's newest superstar.
I needed to be miserable then to be truly happy now.
One of the baddest women on the planet Earth.
It's all led to this, and I didn't even realize that I've always been on this path.
Ronda Rousey's swapping the octagon for the ring.
Former UFC champ Ronda Rousey is now joining the WWE.
She's in it to win it.
Ronda Rousey is here!
It is a dream come true.
All eyes are going to be on her in this match. Because every fan, whether they love her or hate her, they're going to want to see her either succeed or fail.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, but, you know, it brings out the best in me. I thought that the Olympic gold medal was all I was ever going to care about, but life happens and things change. Then UFC was all that I thought I was ever going to care about. And then life happens and things change. But winning in WrestleMania, it feels like all I've ever cared about. I've been accumulating all the skills along the way to be the best at this. I was always meant to be on the stage. I was always meant to be at WrestleMania.
So notwithstanding how we feel about her as a person or as a an athlete in WWE, even though she has no real indication that she's a believer in Christianity, she certainly is at least a deist in that she believes in a God that could use losses and failures to prepare you for something else, something potentially better. Because we've all felt that way before, at least a little, right?
Fair.
That things have gone so terribly during some season of our lives that we feel God hates us, or that we've gone too far and that he can't forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that it's cool that she's at least being vulnerable about that feeling, and that she's realizing that God uses, you know, our failures and uses the times that we're down to build something better out of it. And she sees this as better. As something that she was always being driven towards. Is that a good message, at least? Can we give her that much? I feel like it's a good message.
Fake news.
You think it's fake news?
I do. I feel like they're using it as an angle because they thought that more people would like Ronda Rousey, and all the people that I know really don't care for her. And so in order to build her fan base, they're making her come back and sound like
you don't
this wonderful person who has been hurt and now she's putting her faith in something. And so we should have sympathy for her and like her. And it's that whole likability factor. And I don't know that it's going to work.
Megan. Let's just backtrack this just a little bit, because what you're saying is that they're like, oh, we need to give her like something personality so that people can like her. Let's make her believe in God
or a God of some sort.
Because that's what they think their listeners want, and that's what they think their listeners are, or their viewers are. Let us not forget that Vince McMahon is the man that put himself against God in a wrestling match.
Which we talked about last year.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm just saying it seems like a ploy and a scheme to me.
She was on top of the world, number one UFC draw once Brock Lesnar was out of the picture.
Let's talk about Bork Laser for a second.
She lost her championship to Holly Holm. was gone for a year, injured, came back, thought that she was going to go back on top, was knocked down a peg again, losing in 48 seconds, and was gone again for almost 2 years. And you don't think that that would have humbled her enough that she could have had these realizations or these feelings?
I really don't. Because everything that I've seen about her, there is nothing humble in her. There is no sense of humility at all.
See, and I watched those interviews, like, when she lost, when she was leading up, and I'm like, as I was watching, I'm like, you know, she'd do really good in the WWE, like, this personality of just
being,
like...
So it's your fault.
It's not my fault. I didn't wish this upon anybody.
People like you.
People like you have done this. But, you know, because I remember before the Holly Holm match, or the Holly Holm fight, I don't think they call them matches in UFC. That's how little I watch UFC.
Before that fight... Because they are actual fights.
Yeah. Before... I'm not even going to.
There might be an actual fight here in a minute.
I'm not going to.
He already bought me a whole bunch of stuff at Target, so it doesn't really matter what he does.
So,
life's good.
But she did this. She was doing this interview, and somebody said, "You know, what's going to happen if you lose?" And she's like, "Well, that's not going to happen. So I haven't thought about it."
Mm.
Like, dang, that's pretty out there. But the problem I have is that she...
That's confidence. Conor McGregor talks the exact same way. And that after matches, he's the sweetest guy in the world.
Yeah.
But before the match, he's a jerk.
And because... And that's the thing. Is like, I think if you're in that culture, it's like, yeah, you have to go in not questioning whether or not you're the better fighter. Because if you go, oh, well, maybe, you know, if Anderson Silva hits me with that running knee, like, I'm out. No, you can't be thinking about that, you know? So, you know, I think you need that. Problem I have is that there's this weird idea that Ronda Rousey, and for a while there it was, that she was like this role model for young women everywhere. Mm, and girls were dressing up for her as her for Halloween, and she was like,
I did not like that at the time.
And the problem is that she is the opposite of what you want our young women to grow into be.
Right.
It's just like, it's this weird idea that everything I am is built in being the UFC bantamweight champion.
Right.
This is who I am, and I am it.
But that's exactly what she's admitting to.
Yeah.
And that was what she realized when she no longer was that.
She stated in her little interview deal, promo, whatever you want to call it, that at first she thought the gold at the Olympics was all she was going to care about.
Mm-hmm.
And then she realized that, or then she thought that the UFC was all she was going to care about. And how she realized that she was always on this path to the WWE. But how long is it going to take for her to realize that this is WWE is just a little thing that she needs to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to eventually go and care just about something else. Because if you think, oh, this is all I'm going to care about, and then you go, oh, just kidding, this is all I'm going to care about, at some point, that's what you're going to do. Every single time you're involved in something. Like, this is what I'm going to care about. Just kidding, no, this is it. And so I don't think this is something that she's like, I'm in this for the long haul. I think she's in this until something better comes along for her.
Hmm.
Well, that's what her past has proven. And she said it.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be a Brock Lesnar... Like, show up once every 3 or 4 months.
I don't think so.
And do something. And the thing is we're making these speculations on her character based on what we've seen on TV.
Which has been very little.
True. I mean, you know, which is like me judging, you know, Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt in the Mission Impossible films. Like, oh, that's who he is, obviously, you know.
No, I judge Tom Cruise on Tom Cruise for jumping on Oprah's couch.
And having a tooth in the exact center of his face.
The exact... Have you seen a picture?
I've never noticed
one that. Of his big... His two front teeth is in the center. He doesn't have a two. It's one right under his nose.
This is a weird...
We are judgmental people.
Yeah, y'all are.
We are. You know what? It's okay, because Jesus will forgive.
I don't actually have a mindset.
That's not a good mindset.
I totally
do this because Jesus will forgive me for it.
No, well, I'm not judging him for it. Like, he literally has no control over it. I'm just saying facts are facts, and he has a tooth in the center of his face. That's a fact, Matt. That all is right. a fact.
Well, I like Tom. For the record, I love Tom Cruise movies.
I don't.
So,
well, love Ronda Rousey or hate her, she's in the WWE now, and currently not as a part timer like Brock Lesnar either. She is a full fledged weekly show athlete. That was what they touted when they first introduced her and made her sign her contract on the show. So, I didn't care for her a few years ago. I gotta admit, I can't wait to see what WWE does with her. So, we will see.
I'll give it time, because, I mean, you know.
We haven't had that yet, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
whatever.
We will see.
You are fake news. Five random facts with Mo. You are fake news.
Now it's time for Five Random Facts with Mo, a segment of the show that we hope will leave you feeling just a little bit smarter today. Annoy your friends with these fun facts. Today we have five random facts about your favorite WWE superstars. 60 seconds on the clock.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Go.
Everyone knows that Stone Cold Steve Austin was a beer-guzzling tough guy. He did what he wanted and owned the ring in the WWE. Fans probably lost count of how many times they have watched Steve guzzle back a Steve Weiser. Outside of the ring, though, on his own time, Steve Austin is a fine wine connoisseur. His favorites are Red Cabernet Sauvignon and Pinot Noir. Number two, The Rock is one of the biggest names to ever come out of wrestling. Fans can recite everything there is to know about the on-screen character. Dwayne Johnson, though, has a hobby that may surprise them. Ooh, he's a very skilled fisherman with a focus on saltwater fishing. Number three, The Undertaker is not only one of the greatest wrestlers ever, but also one of the scariest. It seems that he would have no fears at all. Alas, The Undertaker is the only man, is only a man, and he has fears too. In fact, he has a really weird phobia of cucumbers. Paul Bearer was the one who spilled the beans on the dead man's phobia, saying that he once even saw The Undertaker throw up all over a Waffle House because there was a cucumber slice floating in his iced tea. Number four. No! Matt!
60 seconds are up.
Man.
I want more on the cucumber thing.
This is a real thing.
I these demand were, more on the cucumber thing.
So these were tough.
Yeah, they're longer.
Gosh.
Read the other two.
All right. We all know Dwayne Johnson as The Rock. Even since he has made the very successful transition from the WWE to Hollywood, it remains his moniker. But he was not always The Rock. When he first started out in wrestling, he went by the name Flex Kavanaugh. Okay, Kavanaugh.
Flex Kavanaugh.
I like Kavanaugh, but whatever. And number five, and lastly, even though Vince McMahon and his son Shane seem to despise each other on TV, Vince was actually the best man at Shane's wedding. These have been your five random facts. I'm bummed.
I actually did not know the Flex Kavanaugh thing. Yeah. No, I always thought that his actual first one was Rocky Maivia.
Nope. Fun stuff.
Fun
the
fact.
Cucumber thing is totally real, though. That's really? Paul Bearer did say that in an interview shortly before he passed away.
Well, obviously, it wouldn't have been shortly after.
Right.
I blame my loss on not really being a wrestling fan.
Those were long facts,
I made
too.
Them a lot longer than they normally are. I just wanted you to lose once. Sorry. I stacked the deck.
I'm really bummed.
Oh, that's like wrestling the last time we played a game. And
right? Tell him. Let me hear it.
When we played the Price is Right and the price was zero. That's not a price, Matt. Zero is not a price.
Purposely.
Everyone has a price.
Made us both lose.
Oh, and now we move on to game time. Last month we played a game called DC Comic Character or Larry Boy Villain. Today, in the same vein, we're playing DC Comics Character or WWE Wrestler. I'm going to say an obscure name from one or the other, and you have to guess which is which. Easy enough?
Sure. I'm going to do great at this.
I'm just going to agree with everything John says.
All right, so there's no title in the mix here. Chris won it in the last podcast.
You know what? I'm going to be the Kurt Hawkins of the Back Row Baptist podcast.
Just always lose.
He's got, what, like 170-something losses? He didn't even win his first match, and everyone wins their first match. Like, that's just not fair.
All right, everybody ready?
Everybody ready.
Everybody
in the room getting ready.
I can make your hands clap.
I can make your hands clap.
That's right. I had it queued up and ready.
You knew I was going to say that?
Aw, man. I was so proud of all of us last night at the hockey game.
Yes, we're all doing it. All right, everybody ready? Let's play DC Comics character or WWE wrestler. All right, number one.
Wait, is Megan cheating?
Megan's not cheating.
So does everybody give the answer and then...
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like taking turns.
No, okay. We all give her...
Yeah, everyone's going to give an answer. All right, number one. Fantasio. DC Comics character or obscure WWE wrestler?
I know the answer, so I'm not
gonna. Okay, well, I'm waiting for you to answer.
I'm not gonna answer until you answer.
No, that's
okay,
not
okay. I'm
fair.
Saying wrestler.
Well, it says wrestler.
I'm playing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hillary?
I think it's DC comic book character, DC but I'm gonna be wrong character? Because he's gonna say.
John?
It's a wrestler.
It's a wrestler.
See it?
He had this weird, like, mask that he would pull off, but it was just his face.
You need to stop doing that. I told you that I was going to...
What did he do by magic in his first match in the WWE?
He pulled something out of his mouth. Like, he pulled, like, this ribbon out of his mouth.
I don't even that. But the magic thing that he did that was memorable...
I don't remember.
...is that he removed the boxers of two people at ringside.
That was a weird character. It really was.
All right, number two. Hammerhead Haynes. Obscure WWE wrestler or DC Comics character?
Wrestler.
Wrestler?
Comics character.
Comics character. Hillary?
I'm going to say wrestler.
Wrestler?
This just sounds like a wrestler.
It does, doesn't it? It's not. It's a DC Comics character.
I hate you.
Yes.
I'm terrible at these games. Give me let's do like shark facts. I'll totally win.
Shark facts. All right, number three.
Hey, for Shark Week.
Can we do a Shark Week, podcast? Dibs, I'm on it. We'll see. Okay, I want to win the title.
Number three.
Put that in there.
Max Moon. Wrestler, DC Comics character.
Comic book character.
I'm saying comic book character.
Comic book.
He was a wrestler in the very first Raw.
Oh my gosh.
Correct. Wrestler.
He wrestled Shawn Michaels?
I don't remember.
It was like the first ever Raw match, I think.
All right, so John and Mo are tied with two.
I'm going to throw up.
It was a Tron.
Mo, the person that knows almost nothing about wrestling, versus John, who's a basic encyclopedia. I thought I picked things that you would about not stuff. Know. All right.
I'm proud of myself.
Number four, Joey the Snail Martin.
Oh.
Joey the Snail Martin. Wrestler or DC Comics character?
That's actually a really hard one.
I feel like that's an awful name to be a wrestler. To be thought of as a snail.
Well, James Ellsworth was the chinless wonder, so...
Yeah, yeah, but being chinless...
You've had the boogeyman.
But being a snail... Like, snails are notoriously known for being slow, and...
Yeah, well, they have characters who specifically exist just to lose matches.
Maybe because he's slimy?
That's cool. Could be it too.
I think I'm going
maybe
with wrestler.
Maybe he hates salt.
I'm going.
I'm gonna go with wrestler.
Hey, Joey the Snail. How come you hate salt so much? you going with wrestler?
Yeah, that's his.
Give me the name one more time.
Joey the Snail Martin.
That's his nemesis, Salt.
I'm going to go wrestler as well.
Wrestler?
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll go wrestler. No.
DC Comics character.
Dang it!
You'll all lose.
I hate everybody. I want to go home. Don't touch me.
I love you.
Don't right. touch me.
Number five. Ramrod. DC Comics character or WWE
DC Comics character.
That's what she said.
What he said.
Are you all saying DC Comics character?
No. I was making that comment about his name.
Bo.
And we're going to cut. Solid cut.
This is why we can't do live shows anymore.
Whatever. No. I'm saying wrestler.
Wrestler? It is a DC Comics character.
I got a point!
Poo.
John pulls out to the lead with three. All right. Number six, two left. Battle Cat.
Isn't that what the Wildcats are called?
DC Comics character.
No, that's a wrestler. That's a power cat.
A power cat. I don't work for the schools.
Yeah, you do. You literally do.
I'm going DC Comics.
Wait, say
DC
it again.
Battle Cat, spelled with a K.
Wrestler. Kit.
I'm saying wrestler.
It's a wrestler.
Yes! Yes! Hey. Yes!
Bo and John are tied again.
Are these like old WCW guys that didn't work out?
They're all WWE people.
Really?
They were on on the show most in the 90s or the early, late 80s. All right. Last one.
Santa Claus, spelled with an X. Santa with an X. Santa Claus.
That's more Christian than Santa Claus.
Right. Is that a wrestler? Or a DC Comics character?
I'm going wrestler. Why not? I mean, I'm going to lose either way. So.
Yeah, you are going to lose either way.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Is this the last one you said?
This is the last one.
Uh-oh.
Y'all are tied.
Uh-oh.
Wrestler, DC Comics character, John.
Do you have a tiebreaker ready?
I do.
Wrestler.
Wrestler?
Just say the opposite.
Do you know this one? And don't tell me what to do. I don't have to say the opposite if I don't want to say the opposite. If I want to say the same thing, I'll say the same thing. Hillary, what did you say?
I said wrestler. Maybe he wants you to say wrestler.
I'm saying DC Comics character.
It's a wrestler.
Yeah.
He was like a 7 foot tall Russian dude, wasn't he?
He was Balls Mahoney.
It was Balls Mahoney, yeah. That dude died.
Yes, he did.
4 years ago.
So, John, you win.
Wait, how many points did I have? Three?
You had 2 points.
No.
Mo had three.
I had three.
Oh, you did get the last one. I'm sorry. You did get three. Three for Hillary, three for Mo, four for John.
Okay, so at least I tied for second place.
You did. Good job. Mo, you did a great job
for not knowing.
Not knowing any of these
for being all guesses. Alone.
Yeah.
All.
Good job. John, you win.
Oh. I can make your hands clap.
They don't have to.
Why didn't you play that for the last podcast?
I forgot that I had it.
Aww.
Victor speech, John.
I'd like to thank the WWE Network and Cracked.com for doing lists of obscure wrestlers from the 90s.
Yeah. What is that promo that Scott Steiner did about you having a 66?
You got a 66 and a 6 point chance, but Kurt Angle can't beat me, and he knows he can't beat me. You ever seen that one?
Yes.
The numbers.
Thing, yeah.
Gosh, the numbers spelled disaster.
It's right. Hysterical. This
I did have
so
this.
Dumb.
I did have this tiebreaker, and I want to do it anyway.
Fine.
66 2/3% chance.
So everybody gets a piece of paper because you're all gonna write down a number. Gracious sakes, Hillary.
That's why I married.
Do you have pens over there?
I have un pen.
Okay. Oh, I probably got a pen.
Oh, I got a
I got a...
Mo beat you too.
It's okay.
All right.
His lipstick.
Dwayne Gill, also famously known as Gilbert, has had quite a run in the WWE between 1990 and 2007, having wrestled 127 matches in his WWE career. Of those 127 matches, how many did this famous jobber, i.e. professional match loser, actually win? Closest answer wins.
122, you said?
127 matches total. How many did he win?
Closest without going over?
No, just closest.
Okay.
I could tell you that he used to be a janitor, but I can't tell you how many he's actually won.
Pretty sure he's still a janitor.
He's still probably still a janitor.
All right. How many matches?
The answer was zero, but
did Dwayne Gill win? John said 10. Hillary said 5. And Mo said 80.
No.
Over half.
You don't know who Gilbert was.
This professional match loser.
No, I don't. In the description. I wasn't even listening.
And you put over half.
That's eight.
That's only eight?
Just, yeah.
That zero is just a
She was
big
practicing
period.
Her eights and got the top half.
No, oh, that was 0-8. You just were doing two digits. Okay, I read it upside down. No.
Good job.
So it definitely wasn't 80.
She's aware.
But the correct answer is 10.
Oh.
Good job, John.
I hate
Dead
you.
On.
Yes.
Gosh. Ow!
He didn't get his first win until 1998, 8 years into his career. And it was his first appearance as Gil Berg. And it was only because they wanted to put the cruiserweight title on him so he could be a more accurate mocking of the biggest star and heavyweight champion on WCW at the time, Goldberg. Fun times.
I knew I was freaking close.
I just still love when they did the Festival of Friendship and they brought Goldberg back mm-hmm. out. And Kevin Owens just got so mad. Like, went and, like, hit him with a TV or something.
No, he threw Chris Jericho into the
threw
TV.
Chris Jericho into the TV.
The TV. But it was just...
But he did destroy Goldberg, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Good times.
Now it's time for our featured music of the show. Every podcast, we feature one song by an amazing independent Christian artist in hopes that you will check out more of their music. And today's featured artist is Arised. The song we're going to share with you today is called Valinor?
Valinor, I think, yeah.
Off their EP album, Insomnia. You can find this song and more on YouTube and Spotify, and you can connect with them on Facebook at Arised Band Official.
Arised is... Like desire spelled backwards.
They got that from Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yes.
Oh, you can't do that stuff. Sorry.
That should make you like them even more.
No, it makes me angry that they couldn't come up with their own name.
That's like half the bands in the world.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth, Matthew.
And what better place to stop? Our show today, Back Row Rewind, coming to a close. We hope you enjoyed this rewind to three classic wrestling themed shows as a tribute to the brand new Love Thy Nerd podcast, Two Words, hosted by John Berkey, and I am excited to get to sit shotgun with him on that show. Two episodes are already out. They come out every other week, so the next one should be coming out not tomorrow, but next Friday, so keep an eye out for that, and go catch up on the two shows you might have already missed. You can find Two Words on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, or just go to lovethynerd.com into their podcast section. You'll find all those links and all those shows ready to be heard. Hey guys, that's it for the show today. We'll be back with another rewind next Thursday and new morning shows next Monday through Wednesday. Church Nerds tomorrow morning, 80s night tonight. Guys, we got a whole lot of stuff going on here on LTN Radio, so make sure that you're always tuned in. Hey, and if no one else tells you, Jesus loves you, nerd.